This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
But I think we have to look at the bigger picture here. What that shows us is that 20-plus teams have expressed trade interest in Pierre-Luc Dubois. Now, my understanding is some teams are being told that they are now out. You've got Winnipeg, you've got Montreal, you've got the Calgary Flames among the Canadian teams who have expressed interest. And there are many who believe that a trade is developing as we speak.
A Dreger bomb late last night. Pierre-Luc Dubois. You sort of knew that the beginning of the end was coming after what happened this earlier this week in Columbus. Now we wait and we see, does he end up as a member of the Winnipeg Jets? And if so, what is the return going back to Columbus? I don't know if you guys were like me, but I was constantly refreshing right up until bedtime last night and then first thing this morning to see if anything has happened. The update? Nothing yet. But we'll bring it to you if and when it happens. The latest here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The latest here on TSN Radio 1290.
And, Drew, when you say refreshing, you don't mean refreshing Twitter. You mean, like, putting deodorant on, just getting ready, right? Like, making yourself pretty?
No, I was refreshing Twitter. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay. On that note, thank you, Ezzy. Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this morning at TSN1290.ca and via the iHeartRadio app, we say good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Alongside Ezra Ginsberg, alongside Dave Minuk, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. We're with you for the next 3 hours. We're all about the Winnipeg Jets on this Saturday morning. It was going to be a regular Saturday, so to look back at the week that was for the Jets, still going to do all that. Look ahead to tonight and then tomorrow night. Tonight against Ottawa, tomorrow night against the Edmonton Oilers. We're still going to do all that. But we're focusing our attention right now, of course, on the latest rumors involving Pierre-Luc Dubois of the Columbus Blue Jackets. We know that he had asked for a trade, you know, shortly in the offseason and then signed his bridge contract with the Blue Jackets. We know the Jets, from the start, were always rumored as potentially being one of those targets. That is where we're at right now. It sounds like, as based on the report from Darren Dreger and other insiders yesterday, that it's getting closer to coming to fruition. We don't yet know if it's going to come to fruition. We don't yet know if the Winnipeg Jets will be the acquiring team. But we are here. We're watching. We're going to keep you abreast of all the latest developments. We want to hear from you at Illegal Curve on Twitter. Send us your tweets. We have a poll up right now. We want your comments on that. You know, is Laine for Dubois one for one a trade that you'd be willing to consider? Laine and Roslovic for Dubois, is that what you prefer? Maybe not even including Laine at all. Maybe Roslovic and prospects and draft picks for Dubois. Whatever might be, whatever you think, we want to hear from you at Illegal Curve. You can also send us your text to 1290. Standard messaging rates do apply. We'll read your comments on the air throughout the next 3-plus hours as we are here to bring you the latest Winnipeg Jets news, the Dubois trade news, whatever it might be. It's going to be a busy Saturday morning here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Gentlemen, obviously, let's start with talking about Dubois. We saw the report from Dreger. It was no surprise. I mean, we heard last week, we played the comments from John Tortorella where he was very honest and he was forthcoming. And then it sort of got even more heated this week when you saw the benching of Dubois for those two periods plus after what was a lazy shift by Pierre-Luc Dubois, and John Tortorella responded in kind. So as we sit here on this Saturday morning, 5 minutes after 9 o'clock, what are your thoughts about this situation? What are your thoughts about a potential trade?
Yeah, well, going back to that, you know, that period where Dubois, that shift, I should say, that Pierre-Luc Dubois really, it wasn't a good shift, and, you know, it was almost foreshadowing what was to come, right? And it was almost fitting, boys, that it came against the Tampa Bay Lightning because, of course, you know, Columbus sweeps Tampa Bay, probably the greatest moment in franchise history, right? So it's kind of irony, if you want to call it that, that it happened against the Tampa Bay Lightning. But as you mentioned, Drew, it's no surprise. What's a surprise is that this trade looks like it's happening this quickly, right? Because we talked about it last week. If you're going to trade your first-line center, you know that's going to be a more difficult trade to make. So that's why we thought, you know, there was a good chance that might not happen at all during the season or maybe before the trade deadline, right? So the big piece of news, I think, as it relates to the Jets and the Jets fans, is that after Dregs came out with that tweet that said the Jets were involved, mm-hmm. he later had the piece on TSN.ca that said the Jets were the front runner. So mm-hmm. that was the big difference, right? Because we knew the Montreal Canadiens were interested. We knew that the Anaheim Ducks were involved. But it was reported that the Jets were the front runner. So that's the big piece of news there. But then Pierre LeBrun reported shortly after that that it looks like Montreal and Anaheim have potentially, you know, raised their bid for Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Which is what Jarmo Kekäläinen, the general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets, should be doing, Dave, is playing one side off another as he tries to get the best return possible for a number one center. I mean, number one centermen in the NHL don't get traded very often. So that's why there's so much, why Dubois is so attractive to a lot of teams. You know, he's under contract for the next 2 years, and then he's still an RFA after that. So you do have some degree of cost certainty with him and control of him. But right now, it's a bit of an arms race that's happening as the Dubois trade and the rumors and the Jets' involvement continues to ramp up.
Yeah, and you got to give Jarmo Kekäläinen a lot of credit because he's in a fairly untenable situation with a coach and a player who are clearly at odds. And I don't know if you guys watched that Pierre-Luc Dubois post-game availability, and it was actually a little bit painful. And you're just sitting here listening to the player talk about how, you know, he intends to be better and toward, like, just the things that are being said.
It wasn't even post-game. It was the next day. It was a pre-game. He didn't speak after the game when he got benched. He didn't speak that night.
The next day.
He spoke the next day.
After practice, I meant.
Yes.
So you hear that situation and you think to yourself, okay, even though look, obviously the chronology, right? The rumor came out that he had requested a trade, signs a contract like hours later.
Yeah.
And yet, and then you think to yourself, okay. And it's kind of like with Laine when Mike Liu was, or one of his other agents made a comment, and you think to yourself, why are you throwing gas on the fire? At this point, let it kind of play out unless you really want the player to get, unless you want to leave, unless it remains untenable between the player and the coach. Or whatever the situation is, and we don't know. I mean, nobody knows what it is exactly. But the reality is, I thought, and we talked about it, I thought, okay, well, they're not in any rush because they've got a 2-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And really, from Columbus's perspective, it allows you to kind of suss out some options.
Yeah.
But then, when this news breaks, you're thinking to yourself, okay, this puts Columbus in a terrible situation because it's clear the coach and the player are not getting along. It's clear that it doesn't look like it's salvageable. And yet, somehow, it's like a nuclear arms race between Montreal, Winnipeg, and Anaheim to secure this player's, you know, talents. And let's not suggest anything other than the fact that this guy, you're not getting him for, I think I saw Ryan who listens, spare parts and magic beans.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a bona fide one center.
When in the summer, when we were talking about Patrick Laine and his trade request.
Mm-hmm.
We said that the only way to get, you know, value in return for Patrick Laine is it has to be a one-for-one deal. Or, you know, where you're not getting, you know, two dimes and a nickel,
that's right,
you know, to equal a quarter. You're getting, you know, basically a superstar for superstar. And at that time, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois and him, you know, wanting out of Columbus wasn't known. So who did we talk about? We talked about a guy like Jack Roslovic. Pardon me, not Jack Roslovic. In Buffalo, my brain's gone blank here. Who's the superstar center in Buffalo?
Eichel.
Jack Eichel. Sorry. Oh, getting a little heated on myself there. Not Jack Roslovic. Jack Eichel. So we were talking about, you know, a superstar for superstar. And, you know, that is what Pierre-Luc Dubois, you know, as a number one center in the NHL, that is the kind of trade that makes sense in terms of value for both sides. Now, are there going to be other parts involved? I mean, you've seen that it's, you know, it's not just Laine for Dubois if it comes to that. It's Laine and Roslovic and maybe Dubois and somebody else, or there's other pieces mm-hmm. involved in the entire deal if it comes to fruition. And that's got to stress the if to it. But, you know, that's why you're talking about sort of top flight talent for top flight talent as opposed to, as I mentioned, the two dimes and a nickel for a quarter trade.
Exactly. And I think you have to factor in here that, you know, both of these players are either in the last year or the second last year of their contract. So there is some risk and some uncertainty here, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no guarantee that if either of these players is traded to the other team, right? And I agree with you, Drew. I mean, it could be another player aside from Laine. The obvious players involved here, we all know that it's Laine, Dubois, and Roslovic
mm-hmm.
because they've all requested a trade, which, you know, you mentioned that it's very rare to see a first-line center traded. It happens to be Jarmo Kekäläinen who traded that first-line center in Ryan Johansson for Seth Jones,
right,
which worked out quite nicely, I think we'd all agree, for Columbus,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
But it's very rare that you have this triangle of players that want to be traded, right? So that's another aspect of this, but I agree, Drew. I think, you know, there's a good chance it's not a one-for-one trade. And going back to what I said earlier, the fact that you've got Dubois, who signed that 2-year, $5 million AAV contract, knowing that Jarmo Kekalainen and the Blue Jackets were going to still look to trade him, and then you've got Patrick Laine, of course, in his last year. You know, both of these players are going to be looking for, hopefully, max deals, right? Because after you signed a bridge deal, when you're a second overall pick, third overall pick, mm-hmm. players of this quality, you know that these types of players mm-hmm. are going to sign long-term deals, most likely after. Not always.
Well, if they want to be in that city, then yes.
Well, not only that, Drew. I mean, just the history and the type of players you're talking about, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's more common for a player that is more of a third line player or not as talented of a player to sign back to back bridge deals mm-hmm. or a bridge deal and then a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
Especially you
get the bridge deal and then you get a longer term contract.
Well, I'm saying just for specifically players of this ilk, right?
Yeah, no question.
But that's something you have to factor in, and obviously Chevy and Jarmo Kekalainen are factoring that in. But that's something that I think makes this trade unique, in that you have two players that have requested trades, but also who need big next contracts.
Tons of comments coming in by our Twitter, and we'll read them throughout the course of the show. I just want to make note, first of all, a lot of people saying, you know, Roslovic and Niku for Pierre-Luc yeah. Dubois. Folks, you got to be realistic here.
Like I said, it's not going to be magic beans.
It's not going to be magic beans. You have to be realistic. There's not a ton of a market for Jack Roslovic in terms of getting top-flight talent back.
Look, I mean,
his stock is pretty low right
sure,
now.
Sure, there's the obvious Columbus connection. He's a Columbus kid, so I mean, that would be massive. And they're going to obviously need center depth because they don't have a ton of it. So I'm not suggesting that he would go in and fill Pierre-Luc Dubois' spot, obviously, but from their perspective, to get a kid who's local on the team would be a big victory. But again, like I said, it's not going to be Roslovic and spare parts for Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Can the Jets get Pierre-Luc Dubois without including Patrick Laine? That's the question, I think, on a lot of people's mind. That's
all of the, and we talked about this last week. All of the reports, Aaron Portsline has reported this, Darren Drager has reported this, Columbus wants players that can step into the lineup. And that was one of the main reasons why I didn't think someone like Cole Perfetti would be included in that contract. You brought it up. It wasn't me that brought up Cole Perfetti, or it might have been Dave, but I think that has been reported. So if you base a trade on the reporting, then no, it wouldn't be a prospect. It would be, if it's not going to be Patrick Laine, it's going to have to be a top six forward, right? And I think we'd all agree Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, Nikolai Ehlers, Kyle Connor are most likely not being traded. It just doesn't make any sense. Why would you trade one of those players right now?
You wouldn't. You have them under
contract.
And you
wouldn't trade one of those players for Pierre-Luc Dubois either. I don't think any of those players work one for one. It has to be Laine.
I mean, it seems hard to believe that you could get him without trading Laine. And if you're the Jets, I mean, you know that, you know, Laine has requested a trade out. So this is maybe both sides are looking at this as a solution to a problem that they currently have within their organization, in that a player, you know, has requested a trade. You know, and two players in the case of Jack Roslovic as well, who's sort of the, you know, a bit on the outside. Now, if you're Kevin Cheveldayoff, do you have to sweeten the pot beyond Laine and Roslovic for Dubois?
No.
No, I think it's the other way around.
You think Columbus has to add more to it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think an argument can be made that Laine for Dubois is a better trade for Columbus.
Because they get... say that again. That Laine for Dubois, one for one?
Well, when you're talking about a one for one trade, it's not like there's one clear winner, especially, you know, as the trade is being consummated, right? Like,
there'll be a lot of declarations
Exactly. But when Ryan Johansson was traded for Seth Jones...
Right.
No, everybody wasn't saying, oh, Columbus definitely won this trade.
That's right.
3 years later, everybody was saying Columbus won this trade, right? But at the time, Seth Jones was, you know, a third overall pick, right, Dave?
In the fifth, I think.
2013.
But remember, we slid a little bit. We were real surprised.
So he at the time, he was a top prospect. You know, he'd, I believe, only played 1 year, 2 years. But Nashville had all of those defensemen,
so they were able to trade him, right?
But so, I mean, yeah, I mean, Dubois, very different players, not only just different positions, but they are like Pierre-Luc Dubois is a two-way power forward who can probably, his ceiling is probably, I don't know, 75 to 80 points.
His career high, so let's go through his career stats so far. You know, his career high was in 2018-19 when he got 61 points in 82 games. Last year in 70 games, of course, you know, with the, you know, the pause, he had 49 points in 70 games. So again, he was pretty close to being at that 60 point mark.
Look at the team he's playing on and look at the players who he's playing with, right? Like, if you put Pierre-Luc Dubois with, you know, Kyle Connor, Nick Ehlers, I mean, I think easily in an 82 game season, he can put up 80 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the type of ceiling. And we talked about it last week. I mentioned this, you know, I was talking to Richie, our old buddy, and he was saying, you know, Dubois reminds him, it's like a young Anže Kopitar. Like, he's that good. Like, he's that good of a two-way centerman, a bona fide number one center.
And when you say, and sometimes when you people hear two-way centerman, they think, oh, he doesn't have that much offensive upside. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. This is a guy who's, you know, to your point, Ezzy, you know, probably has, you know, 35 to 40 goal talent at his absolute peak. You know,
I would agree with that.
You know, not, he's not there yet, but put him on a line with more talented players, to your point. Yep. You know, he's got a, you know, number one centerman. I'll go back to what I said at the opening of the segment. Number one centerman don't become available very often. And if the Jets can go up the middle with Scheifele, Dubois, 1A, 1B, whatever order you want to put them in, because a lot of people would rightfully put Dubois ahead of Scheifele. So, you know, just because of
From an overall game perspective.
So if you go up the middle with Dubois, and then Scheifele, and this year obviously Stasny, and then Adam Lowry is your fourth line center, and then in future years, you know, you swap out Stasny for Perfetti, all of a sudden the Jets have, you know, maybe top three center depth in the entire NHL. Maybe, you know, maybe Dreisaitl and McDavid when they play center, and when Dreisaitl's not on the wing.
If Paul Stasny is your third line center, you have the best third line center in the league.
Right. And I'm saying,
and then you get Lowry at fourth. I mean, again, like I said, that's center depth that you could potentially win a championship with. Now, there's other aspects of championship, but you've already got the goaltender. And again, like I said, those are that would be a very defensively responsible center grouping.
There's tons going on. We're going to read your tweets. We're going to read your texts throughout the course of the show. Sarah Orleski from TSN is going to join us next. We'll talk to Sarah about that. Tons of Jets talk. We're with you all morning long. The latest news, it's coming here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Saturday morning, keep your comments coming. At Illegal Curve on Twitter, 1290.90 via text message. Tons of feedback, as you might expect, for the possibility of the Jets acquiring Pierre-Luc Dubois. The return? Not yet known. Line A, maybe Roslovic, maybe something else. We'll bring it to you all the latest here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And, of course, for the latest Jets news and audio, that's available at IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
From TSN here in Winnipeg, we're pleased to welcome to the program our good friend Sarah Orleski. Sarah, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing fine and dandy, Sarah. Obviously, a little bit of excitement. Darren Dreger, our TSN colleague, breaking some news that's got the city all a titter as we wait to hear if the Jets are able to consummate this trade for Pierre-Luc Dubois. I guess your initial thoughts upon reading and seeing Darren Dreger's comments late yesterday.
Well, I think that it was something that we had thought was a possibility, that those two teams obviously had been linked for a number of months ever since the trade speculation really started. So it'll be very interesting to see. It's not a surprise that either one of the organizations would want the respective players that have been talked about or have been rumored to be potentially involved if a trade does happen. So, but certainly, I mean, here I was thinking that a 9 p.m. local start for a game tonight was going to have me a challenge to be able to stay up, but it might be so busy today that I might not have any issue for it at all. So, but it could be, I think
Sarah,
that it's something that'll certainly, it's something obviously that'll get people certainly around the league, not just in the respective markets talking.
And obviously, you know, you mentioned the game, Sarah, tonight, 9 o'clock start time against the Ottawa Senators. Of course, you were on the road covering the three games against Toronto and then the two against Ottawa. And obviously, you know, didn't start off too well with that 3-1 loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs. But specifically that game on Thursday night, is it, you know, an obvious thing to say that that was by far the Jets' best game of that three-game road trip?
Absolutely, which I don't think is a surprise either. I mean, this is, you look at the way that the games have started in particular, I mean, in the North Division, since that's what I'm spending the most time paying attention to these days, obviously. When you look at the way that many of the games have started, or teams struggling out of the gate for it with no exhibition games at all and the short camp, I think people trying to find their legs. And also, you got to think, this isn't the, that lineup is obviously not what Paul Maurice had envisioned when camp finished. Whether it be because of injury, COVID protocols, Dylan DeMello becoming a new dad. I mean, there were a number of changes. So I think that for them to be able, it was going to take them some games to find their footing. And I'd like to see how they build on it now. But it just seems to me that those first four games just are so Winnipeg Jets in terms of what we've seen from them in recent seasons. Like they've been able to find points in games that you didn't think that they had any business really finding them in. And I'm not saying that they don't have obvious shortcomings in certain areas, but I think that this is a team that buys into that idea of working as a team and that whole mantra of, you know, down but not out. They don't get fazed by trailing in games. And I think that they've bought into that really in the last couple of seasons, and we certainly saw it in the first four games.
You know, Sarah, one of the things that I think fans are coming to appreciate, especially if you pay attention to AHL hockey, is these baseball-style series. Obviously not something we're as familiar with in the NHL. But, you know, what has been your takeaway after having seen two of the games against Ottawa and obviously the third one tonight? Like, are you enjoying that sort of baseball-style schedule in the NHL?
I don't know, to be honest, if I'm sold on it yet. If we start to see kind of more of that, I don't know, playoff sort of atmosphere maybe with it and as the season goes on. But, I mean, I feel right now as if I've seen enough of the Ottawa Senators for a couple of weeks. I would embrace seeing another team right now. But also, that's just because I look and you think about how the start that the Habs are off to. And I'd really love to see the Canadians come in right now. Or I'm looking forward to seeing the Oilers. So I like being able to see. I do understand the appeal of having multiple games against the same opponent, but I like seeing new faces in and get new storylines in and that sort of thing. So I'm not completely sold on it yet, but, you know, talk to me next month and I might have a different story. What about you guys?
Sarah or Les? Yeah, I think anything, I mean, from my perspective, and really that's the only one that matters here on the show, but from my perspective, you know, anything that creates more of a rivalry and anything that creates more hate in the course of a contest is A-okay with me. You know, too often these games, at least in a regular 82-game season, these games happen and there's almost no emotion involved with them. So I do enjoy that, you know, there was the physicality and the edginess towards the end of the game on Thursday night, and we'll be interested to see how much that carries over. And, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, as they like to say. And I you know, the more contempt, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
That applies to our show as well.
No question. I mean, the contempt is what really drives us on a weekly basis. Sarah Orleski from TSN is our guest. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Sarah, you know, everybody's excited this morning about the possibility of acquiring Pierre-Luc Dubois, but I want to sort of take a step back and think back, you know, 5-6 years ago when the Jets drafted Patrick Laine, if you had said that he was only going to be here for, you know, a handful of years, people would have said, well, something has gone wrong. So I don't think I want to lose focus on that the, you know, this young player that the Jets drafted has asked for a trade out of Winnipeg, and we don't know the reason why. But even if they get back a talented player like Pierre-Luc Dubois in exchange for Laine, don't you think the organization should do some sort of soul searching to find out why it went wrong with Laine in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, we don't know what the reason is that he thinks it would be, that he and his representatives think that it would be a better fit being elsewhere. But look, as much as people would be excited about the addition of Pierre-Luc Dubois, if that were to happen, and fair enough, I mean, you look at the abilities that he has in the game that he can bring, and the strength that the Winnipeg Jets, you know, you imagine the strength that they could have down the middle then if they were to acquire someone like him. But my Twitter feed and social media, people do not want Patrick Laine to leave. And so, and I don't know what sort of response you guys have been getting, but I mean, he's such a popular player. And to me, the challenge is more so that this, if this deal were to happen, or any deal happens in which Patrick Laine gets traded, you need to come out on the winning side of it, because he is such a popular player. And to me, he's one of the only players on the Winnipeg Jets right now that, in my mind, truly has star quality. And I say that, not that he's the best player, but just people want to watch Patrick Laine play. I think he is a player that sells tickets, that when you go to other markets, people want to see him play. And as talented as they, as much talent as they have up front for it, I just don't think that they have anyone that has that same sort of combination as what Patrick has. And I think it's a shame if, you know, you look at it and say, well, if he was drafted in 2016, and you don't often get second overall picks. Now, I mean, might trade for the third overall pick, who knows, from that draft. But you don't often get those opportunities. And a young player like that with the offensive upside that he has, it just, it's, it'll be too bad if Patrick Laine ends up moving on, because I think that he's a character and a piece that people in this city really enjoy.
I can't speak for Drew and Dave, but I definitely agree with you. And I think, you know, 99% of Jets fans are probably hoping that Laine isn't traded. But because Dregs came out with that tweet and that report yesterday,
for
and
sure.
I think all of his one million followers are going to be, you know, refreshing his Twitter feed and Pierre LeBrun's as well for the next however long it takes for Pierre-Luc Dubois to be traded. But I wanted to ask you, Sarah, how much of a factor do you think, you know, the quarantine is going to be in all of this, right? Because to the best of my knowledge, if Pierre-Luc Dubois was traded to Winnipeg, he would have to quarantine for 2 weeks. So do you think that's going to be a factor at all? I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you think that's something that these GMs are considering?
Well, I think it's certainly something that's being considered. I think it's something that's certainly going to impact the trade market this year. Same thing with, I mean, whether it be the waiver wire, various things, that it's something that you have to consider that you never had to consider before. But if you have the ability to acquire a player like Pierre-Luc Dubois, and you feel that not only can he obviously help you once he gets out of quarantine this season, but fully longer than just his two-year bridge deal, that it's a risk that you're willing to take, I guess, or it's a delay that you're willing to take would be a better word than risk for it. But I think that it certainly impacts it. But you look at the Winnipeg Jets, I mean, they don't have Patrick Laine in their lineup at the moment. Not sure exactly when he would be back anyway. Still listed as day-to-day, but there's always questions when you haven't seen him skating as to when that return could be. But I think that they've got the pieces that can help them. They're not losing anyone, so to speak, out of the lineup at the moment. And it's in any team's mind, if you acquire a player like Pierre-Luc Dubois, I would think that the two-week quarantine they'd have to go through is a small price to pay.
You know, Sarah, all this Laine talk is somewhat overshadowing some of the debuts we saw. We saw the NHL debut for Logan Stanley this week. We saw the season debut for Ville Heinola. What were your thoughts just on how those two played for the Jets this week?
Well, I didn't know what to expect, to be honest, with Logan Stanley, and I haven't seen him play much. I mean, Dave, you would have seen him play, obviously, a ton with the Moose, and
yep.
I hadn't had the opportunity to. So, I mean, that was the one I was more curious about, because I kind of figured that we knew more or less what you'd get with Heinola, but I was impressed with Stanley. It's nice to see, because that was, you know, one of those draft picks that obviously he has the size that everybody immediately gets drawn to, but there was those question marks surrounding whether or not his game could transition, and the expectations that go along with being a 18th overall pick. I mean, and the fact that he hadn't kind of made that transition yet. So I thought he did a good job. I liked that they were able to bring him in on that third pairing. You could shelter him a bit. And everybody that I'd spoken to about him spoke so positively about the developments that he had made, not only over last season, but then during the off season and coming into camp. And we heard him talk about how he had trained and skated a bit with Mark Scheifele during the off season, which I think is great as well, and just kind of setting the tone for maybe what it takes to be a successful pro at that level. And I thought that he did a great job, and I thought that Nola looked much more comfortable there than what we saw with Sammy Niku in there, and so did Josh, for that matter. I thought that both of their games looked good and that they were able to get the puck out of zone a little bit and push up play a little bit more than what we'd seen in earlier games. But I still, it's such a small sample size, as you guys know, with everything. But, I mean, whether you're looking at individual players or you're looking at just a four-game block, the whole, that I want to see them, you said, go up against the Habs. And nothing against the Senators, but obviously a young team, and you can look great against them. I want to see them go up again against Toronto and Montreal and see how they stack up. And Edmonton will be obviously a really interesting opponent on Sunday night, just with the skill that they have up front despite their struggles.
Sarah Orleski is TSN's reporter here in Winnipeg. Sarah, it seems like it's going to be a busy day, certainly a late start tonight. Appreciate you getting up and starting it off nice and early with us, and we'll let you go on that, and we'll see you at the rink coming up, if not tonight, then in the next couple days.
Hey, lots of coffee. If everyone hasn't started brewing their pots of coffee now, you might want to get just a steady stream all day long.
Exactly. Just an IV of coffee for all of us to stay up these late hours.
That's immediately what I thought when I saw a 9 p.m. local start.
I'm going cappuccino.
Yeah, there you go. Sarah, appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Take care. Sarah Orleski from YouTube, Sarah. When we come back, we're going to read some of your comments. They're coming in fast and furious on Twitter and via text.
You're like Vin Diesel right now, Drew.
I don't understand that reference whatsoever.
Fast and Furious.
Oh, Fast and Furious. There you go. Coming in 12.90 via text at Illegal Curve on Twitter. We'll read some of your comments. Much more to come. We got Jets talk. We got Line A talk. We got Dubois talk. We cover it all. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mindell, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk with you. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can reach us via text message. Just send your text to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. And, of course, our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio is available at illegalcurve.com.
TSN 1290. Breaking news.
9:37 in the morning, we have this breaking news update, courtesy a tweet from Darren Dreger 1 minute ago. I'm going to read it verbatim. A trade call is being set up between the Winnipeg Jets and Columbus Blue Jackets to complete the trade, sending Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic to Columbus for Pierre-Luc Dubois. A draft pick to the Jets may also be included. One more time, I'm going to read it. A trade call is being set up between the Jets and the Blue Jackets to complete a trade sending Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic to the Columbus Blue Jackets for Pierre-Luc Dubois. A draft pick to the Jets may also be included. That, 1 minute ago, from Darren Dreger's verified Twitter account.
That is a Dreger bomb.
That is a Dreger bomb. That is a bomb that is going to
resonate
and certainly cause a lot of discussion throughout the entire NHL.
Okay.
Two franchises that don't typically get the spotlight in Columbus and Winnipeg are going to be front and center on what is actually a quiet Saturday in the NHL, as it happens. Not that many games, only 5 games today. Okay, let's break it down. We saw it last night. We knew it was a possibility. We don't know the exact particulars, but we know that it sounds like it's Laine and Roslovic for Dubois and maybe a draft pick coming back to the Jets. Good enough for the Jets' perspective? Not good enough? We have a lot of tweets and texts saying people are going to be upset if Patrick Laine is dealt away. Is this a good enough return?
Well, and obviously the draft pick is going to have a little bit of say in that, Drew, but obviously, you know, is it a first-round pick? Is it a second-round pick? I mean, you'd expect it, Dave, to be, you know, at the very least a second-round pick, maybe a third-round pick, right? I don't think there would be any reason to throw in a late-rounder, right? So, I mean, look, you're talking about, as we discussed, you know, with Sarah and before we had Sarah on last segment, I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois is a 1A center. On the Jets, whether you want to call it 1A or 1B, but this is a guy, you know, that can basically do it all. I mean, this is a guy that has such high ceiling at 22 years old. And, you know, again, it's just, it's crazy, boys. If your adrenaline wasn't flowing before, it should be flowing now. I said this last week. You know, Dave Minuk and I were in Buffalo in 2006 covering the NHL draft for TSN 1290 and IllegalCurve.com, and it feels like it was yesterday that the Jets just selected Laine and then, you know, Jarmo Kekäläinen shocked everybody and took Pierre-Luc Dubois over Jesse Puljujärvi. And this is what should be mentioned, Drew, about that, is that Pierre-Luc Dubois wasn't supposed to go. If you go back and you look at the draft rankings from back in 2016, Pierre-Luc Dubois was not supposed to not only go third overall, he was supposed to be kind of a mid to late round pick in that draft in Buffalo. Dave would remember that.
Yep.
So, and this has worked out very well for the Columbus Blue Jackets. So, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois for Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic, depending on what the draft pick is, yeah, it's a pretty even trade because...
Elliot Friedman reporting that the draft pick is a third-round pick coming to the Jets. Jack Roslovic has agreed to a two-year contract with the Blue Jackets as part of the trade.
Okay, and so getting the third-round pick back, you're getting something, right? I mentioned just, you know, a couple of minutes ago, I didn't think it was going to be a late-round pick, right? So, you know, maybe, you know, Chevy asked for a first-round pick, and then they settled on the third-round pick. That's maybe why the trade didn't happen right last night, right, Drew?
Well, plus I think what they were probably also
and the
trying...
contract for
the contract for Roslovic,
right.
Also a factor.
And so, and I want to get Dave in here as well. I'm sure that he's, you know, going to be posting something on the website, but, you know, so many things are happening right now.
We're a multi-platform operation here.
Yeah, we've got TikTok happening as well, right, boys? But, you know, when you're talking about Dubois, 2 years at a $5 million AAV, like, that's a beautiful number to me. Like, you could argue that Dubois is a $7 to $8 million a year player, right? So you've obviously got Dubois in the second last year of his contract. But, I mean, the real news is going up the middle, the Winnipeg Jets are going to have Mark Scheifele, Pierre-Luc Dubois, Paul Stastny, and Adam Lowry, arguably, you know, top five, top three center depth in the NHL.
I think it's the best 1-2-3 center depth. 1-2, I would still give to Crosby, Malkin, or McDavid, Dreisaitl. But when you go 1-2-3-4, you know, if you say you win up the middle, and that's what they say, that, you know, in the NHL nowadays, you win by going up the middle.
Absolutely. And you go back to 2018, Drew, when Brian Little was the third line center, when Paul Stastny was acquired from the St. Louis Blues. I mean, this center depth is even better because now essentially you've plucked Pierre-Luc Dubois in there, and Paul Stastny, instead of being your second line center, is your third line center. So, yes, we have to definitely factor in that, you know, a lot of Jets fans are not going to be happy, you know, that the second overall pick in 2016, Patrick Laine, was traded, a generational goal scorer who has 50 goal upside, but you are getting a tremendous number one center, 1B center, whatever you want to say, in Pierre-Luc Dubois.
You know, this is going to, you know, we're in the eye of the storm right now, so it's going to take a little bit of time for all of this to resonate and to shake out and to play out, and this isn't going to be a one-day story for the Winnipeg Jets and the Columbus Blue Jackets. This is going to be a multi-year story because these two players, for a while there, as Laine and Matthews were always compared to one another, now it's going to be a factor of Laine and Dubois always going to be compared with one another. And this is the biggest move, I would say, in Winnipeg Jets 2.0 history. This exceeds the move of Evander Kane, which had been the previous biggest trade for the Winnipeg Jets.
I think this exceeds any trade in Winnipeg Jets history.
Well, does it exceed the Howardchuk trade? I mean, maybe, you know, going back, or the Timu trade? I mean, I don't know. It's certainly probably comparable in those conversations.
But when you're considering that both of these players are 22 years old, right?
This is the most significant trade to happen in the NHL in, and I'm just going off the top of my head here, probably
since Johansson and Jones,
so,
for sure.
And I think it's probably even bigger than that one, given what Dubois and what Laine have accomplished.
Don't say Taylor Hall for Adam Larson.
No, I'm not going to. But, I mean, all the other big trades, when they happen at the trade deadline, or they happen because a player is at the end of a contract and a team wants to get something from him in return. For two players who are under contract and who are under team control for the next number of years, this is an absolutely massive trade. You know, I'm torn on it. I'm torn because I love what Pierre-Luc Dubois brings up the middle. Mm-hmm. And for the people who are asking us or sending us comments, and the only thing they know about Dubois is that shift that he took against the Blue, that he took a couple days ago.
Yeah.
That is not Pierre-Luc Dubois on a regular basis. there's obviously been so much swirling behind the scenes there that I don't expect motivation to be a factor when it comes to Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Right.
I don't expect that all of a sudden you're getting a malcontent or a player who doesn't give you all. If you want to see Pierre-Luc Dubois at his best, you go back to see in the bubble what he did against the Toronto Maple Leafs in this past summer, where the Maple Leafs could not handle him. Mm-hmm. They did not have an answer for his physicality and for the talent that he brought on the ice. And then you go back a couple years further, when Dubois may not have been the, you know, he was still surrounded by better, by talent in Panarin and Bobrovsky, but when they upset the Tampa Bay Lightning, he was certainly a key member of the team to do that.
Right.
He was a key asset for the Blue Jackets. I don't know what has gone wrong. I don't know if we'll find out. Hopefully Dubois will speak about it when he speaks to the media. We don't yet know when that, of course, is. We do not yet have official word that the trade call has been completed. We have not seen the press release from the Winnipeg Jets.
No, we just know that it's being set up.
We know that it's, yeah, being
and
set up.
And that can take some time. I mean, you have to work through the legalities of everything.
Yeah, but, I mean, things are happening, boys. Like, I mean, this is, you go back to the beginning of the show, I mean, this is huge. As we said, this is a Drager bomb. But Drew, I think, you know, for our listeners and people, you know, that are seeing this trade on Twitter, hopefully everybody's listening. I'd like to think that. But I mean, you're not going to know who's going to win a trade. So I think it's smart to not jump to conclusions. I think you have to look at this trade with the two main pieces, right? Because mm-hmm. Jack Roslovic did not have a future in Winnipeg. We knew that. And if he didn't sign, I think it was before February 11th.
That's right.
He wasn't able to play.
It was 2 weeks from now.
Right.
So you knew something was going to happen there.
So Roslovic has been traded for a third-round pick. That's his value. I mean, we talked earlier about this. We didn't think Roslovic was going to get a first-round pick. Certainly not a high first-round pick.
Right.
Right? So he was either going to be a second or a third. So this trade is line A for Dubois.
This trade is, yes, I would agree with that for the most part. Yes, I would agree. Because Roslovic had obviously, he didn't want to be here anymore.
Right.
He had fallen out of favor, if he was ever in favor, of Jets head coach Paul Maurice. And I do want to emphasize that question that I asked Sarah. The Jets are probably happy right now that they got Pierre-Luc Dubois for Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic. They think that's probably a pretty good return. But deep down, and I certainly hope this is going to happen, and I have no idea if it will or if it won't, but the Jets organization needs to find out why Patrick Laine became disgruntled. They do need to do some self-exploration to find out why Patrick Laine, who when they drafted him, most everyone would say, I remember we were on air when the Jets won the draft lottery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and shortly thereafter we were on air. Patrick Laine's acquisition was supposed to be a franchise-changing win for the Jets, lottery win.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't been that way, and it's not because of his lack of talent. Something has gone wrong. We don't know what that something is, but the Jets organization needs to do an exploration to find out why things went off kilter with Laine, much like the Blue Jackets need to do the same with Dubois to find out why he was traded out of Columbus and why he was disgruntled there.
I think the reality is, and there's a number of things that could come out in years to come, but that we don't know right now. And I think ultimately, look, Pierre-Luc Dubois' father is an assistant coach with the Manitoba Moose.
Eric Dubois.
So there's that factor. You know, because, I mean, one of the rumors was that Pierre-Luc Dubois wanted to go to a bigger market. I wouldn't exactly describe, I love Winnipeg, born and raised here. I wouldn't describe us as a bigger market. So, you know, that, but do his parents being here factor in for him? Potentially. I mean, family is a big pull, you know, I mean.
Well, Dave, I was just going to say, at the very least, the familiarity with the True North organization.
Absolutely.
Has to have some type of impact.
Sure. And again, we don't know what Kevin Cheveldayoff knew. We don't know if he had talked to Laine's representatives. And I mean, again, if he was prepared to sign, because if you'll remember, Chris Johnson spoke to Patrick Laine when Patrick Laine was in Finland waiting to sign his deal, and he basically alluded to the idea that it was almost like it was money. If I get paid, I'll play. Right? So I think if we don't know what the contract would have looked like in terms of a long-term deal, but again, this gives the Jets some cost certainty for the next 2 years with Pierre-Luc Dubois' deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect, you know, and one of the things that we're hearing a lot of on Twitter and on Instagram and various platforms is what this will do for, and we've talked about it ourselves, the center depth for this Jets organization. People are pointing out, look at the teams that have won championships, the Bostons, the Washingtons, the Pittsburghs. What have they all had? They've all had phenomenal center depth. I mean, again, to Drew's point, again, it doesn't always win. You know, Edmonton had phenomenal center depth. They haven't won. But the fact is, you know, they've got a lot of pieces that are missing.
Yeah.
So what does this do for the Jets? Don't get me wrong. I think Patrick Laine is a phenomenal player, and I agree with Sarah's comments when she was on, you know, 25 minutes ago, that he's the type of personality that draws people in. But at the end of the day, if you think that you've got a player who's going to provide you with Mark Scheifele, the type of center depth that you can have for the next 5 to 7 years that will put you at the top of the league and especially allow you to insulate a guy like Cole Perfetti, who's a center, maybe plays on the wing, but he's not rushed in. You know, it's unlike the Brian Little, Jack. Remember, for years we talked about Jack Roswick becoming the next Brian Little, but that never happened. So now at least you've got an opportunity for a guy like Perfetti not to be rushed in because Pierre-Luc Dubois will at least insulate him from that.
Yeah, it's a very good point that Dave makes here because Paul Stastny, of course, is in his last year, right?
Yeah.
So we know that if you don't have that there, then you essentially don't have a second-line center, right?
Like, which is what the Jets' problem has been for many years.
Exactly. So then, as to Dave's point, nobody thinks that the Jets are going to, you know, put Cole Perfetti's name up on the board as the second-line center. But the point is, you can put him elsewhere in the lineup,
right,
knowing that you have Mark Scheifele and Pierre-Luc Dubois, whether that's 1A, 1B. And I don't think it matters, guys. What I think, back to
it Dave, matters in that it's a matchup problem for every other opposition.
Well, exactly. And I think that, you know, to Dave's point, you have to look at it like you're giving up. And obviously, you know, it's hard to not factor in, you know, the superstar fan component of this, because Sarah mentioned this earlier. Patrick Laine, you know, probably the only player since Dustin Byfuglien who has been this popular. There are other players as well. Mark Scheifele is very, very popular. Connor Hellebuck, Josh Morrissey. There's a lot of favorite players, but Patrick Laine,
he had a radiant energy about him.
He's right up there, and it's because nobody shoots the puck like him. There's only one guy that maybe shoots the puck like him, and his name is Alex Ovechkin. So when you have that world-class shot, arguably the best shot and one of the best goal scorers in the entire world, you're going to have a lot of fans here in Winnipeg and across the world, right? So I think you have to look at this trade like you're giving up a really good goal-scoring winger, an excellent goal-scoring winger, for a 1A, 1B, two-way center who has the ability to probably put up 70 to 80 points in the NHL. Don't just look at the goals and assists here, because they're not similar players. Pierre-Luc Dubois is not a pure sniper like Laine.
But he's a hell of a goal scorer, and he's now a member of the Winnipeg Jets.
Or he will be.
Very shortly. More about this on the other side of the break. Before we go, though, a little bit of the salary cap ramifications. Frank Saravelli, our good friend, he believes the Jets are retaining 26% of Patrick Laine's salary for the season, which evens out the cap hits between Laine and Dubois. So no added salary for Columbus other than the Roslovic aspect.
Right.
Of course, Dubois has next year under contract, Laine, an RFA after this season. Much more to come. We're talking about the Laine for Dubois trade. Roslovic going to Columbus as well. The Jets getting a 2022 third-round pick also in the deal. We want to hear from you. Add a Illegal Curve, 129090 via text. Much more to come. We're on this all morning. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio, 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Saturday morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN Radio, 1290. Obviously, the huge news of the morning, breaking about 20 minutes ago, give or take, Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets in exchange for Pierre-Luc Dubois and a 2022 third-round pick. So the news that, you know, we know that Laine had asked for a trade in the offseason. We knew Dubois had asked for a trade. You know, we saw what was unfolding in Columbus earlier this week. It's come to fruition. The trade call, Darren Dreger reporting, is set to take place shortly if it hasn't already taken place. But we will bring you all the latest news as it continues to unfold live here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and on TSN Radio 1290.
One thing I want to, you know, get in on is that, you know, I don't think Jack Roslovic isn't anything. I think Jack Roslovic, I've been a Jack Roslovic fan in terms of what his play is. I think he's a capable center. I think, you know, I was on board with him at least getting an opportunity. I thought he and Kyle Connor showed a lot of chemistry in the American Hockey League when they played together, and I thought he's a talented player who, if you put him in that position, he could have success. So, you know what, I want to qualify that people don't think that I'm just thinking Jack Roslovic is being thrown in as an extra bonus. I think he's the type of player who could have an impact in Columbus and could, you know, be very good for that franchise. So he's not anything. But you know, again, the reality is, from the Jets' perspective, they weren't, you know, they obviously weren't confident in him because they kept looking elsewhere, right? So the reality is that he'll get that opportunity. It's kind of like Eric Comrie. You know, Eric Comrie wasn't necessarily going to get that shot because Jets had Hellebuyck and Brisson, so now he'll get that shot potentially in New Jersey.
Yeah, and we all know Roslovic is the first player to be born in Columbus, trained in Columbus to make it to the NHL, right? And he's also been training in Columbus. So,
yeah.
So I mean, there were too many reasons why that made so much sense, Dave. Mm-hmm. He's there, right? Like, he's ready to go. As soon as that trade is completed, he's going to be ready to step into the lineup. You know, whereas Laine obviously is going to have to travel there, and he's obviously injured as well. So, I mean, that's a factor. I think, you know, what Drew mentioned, that Frank Saravalli, our good buddy, reported on Twitter is significant, right? Because the Jets are retaining that salary, but the Jets also get the extra year. Mm-hmm. Like, that's huge. That's very significant.
You have cost certainty for a right. player for another year, right. and then he's still right. an RFA.
So for those who are wondering, you know, why would the Jets do that? It's because of that. A big reason for that, I believe,
sure.
is because of that extra year for Pierre-Luc Dubois, and also for the reason that they believe they can sign him long-term. I don't think that, I mean, there always is the risk, but I don't think you're acquiring Pierre-Luc Dubois unless you think you can sign him after this current contract expires.
There's no question. If the Jets, I mean, they're acquiring Dubois because they expect him to be here. They're probably going to talk to his representatives, you know, relatively quickly, mm-hmm. you know, relatively soon, not imminently because you can't because he's still under contract. But once they're able to talk to him, they're going to explore, you know, a contract extension with him, because it is worth noting that Mark Scheifele is only under contract for another two years after this year. So if Scheifele, and this is going way down the road now, but let's say Scheifele is not interested in continuing here in Winnipeg 2 years, 3 years down the road from now, well, who do you have? If you have Dubois under a long-term deal, you have Dubois and you have Perfetti. So this does provide a little bit of insulation, you know, for whatever Mark Scheifele decides to do a number of years down the road. And that's not something the Jets are, you know, stressing about right now, but it is just another factor, I'm sure, that played into the decision to acquire Pierre-Luc Dubois from the Columbus Blue Jackets.
And I think what's, you know, really interesting, Drew, I know you want to get into some more, you know, tweets here, or maybe we're going to do it after the break, I'm not sure, but, you know, you would think...
It feels like I'm trying to land planes here right now, is what it is. Yeah.
Air traffic controller.
Yeah. You know, it was only about 2 months ago that I broke that the election was over, and this has managed to exceed that in a little bit of chaos. Yeah.
No, it's kind of feels like the same thing with the way the adrenaline is going right now, but... you know, I would assume, you know, for those who are wondering, especially, you know, with Kyle Connor back on that top line with Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler, Dave.
Yeah.
You would assume that when Pierre-Luc Dubois does eventually get into the lineup, and obviously that, you know, depends on if the trade is completed, because we do believe, unless something changes, that Dubois will have to go through a mandatory 2-week quarantine.
He will. So right? He'll miss the next, I believe it's 7 games
sure.
right. over the next 2
right.
weeks.
Right. So he'll miss some games, but you would expect him to probably slot in on that second line with maybe Nick Ehlers and Andrew Kopp. That would be my best guess. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Or he could obviously play with, you know, Kyle Connor if Nick Ehlers is on that top line. But the fact is, those are really good problems to have if you're Paul Maurice. If you're looking at that lineup and you've got Dubois, Scheifele, and Stastny up the middle, not to mention Adam Lowry. So it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, if this trade goes through, when Dubois does eventually get to a position where he can enter the lineup,
yeah.
you know, who his line mates are going
to
be.
Let's go to break. We're going to open up the phone lines. Ooh. We got comments coming in via Twitter, @IllegalCurve.
Our Instagram.
Instagram. We got comments. Yeah. We got comments coming via text, 129090.
Snapchat.
If you have a Snapchat or a TikTok or an 8chan or whatever you got, Ezzy, that's your business. I don't want to know about your Parler account, any of that.
You guys on MySpace?
780-1290. 204-780-1290. Producer Sean is back at the station. He's waiting for your calls. We're going to get to as much as we can over the next 2+ hours. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Laine for Dubois. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Alrighty, hour number 2 of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Not much happening in hour number 1 at all. If you're just joining us, if you're just rolling over and you're seeing that the Winnipeg Jets world has exploded, welcome to the program. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk with you. Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic traded this morning to the Columbus Blue Jackets in exchange for Pierre-Luc Dubois and a 2022 third-round pick. We're going to take your calls. We're going to take your comments at Illegal Curve on Twitter. There's about 14 million of them coming in, so I'm going to read them as quickly and as best as I can throughout the course of the program. You can send us your text to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply, and phone lines are open. 204-780-1290. Producer Sean standing by, ready to take your call. First, let's go to the Twitter machine. Jeff says the Jets should have got a little more in return. Roslovic probably equal to a third-round pick, but Line A should be for Dubois plus some more. Thank you to Jeff for his comments coming in. Looking at text messages. Randall texting us from Cochrane, Alberta. The Jets lost in this trade. Once again, the Jets can't keep the Stars. I don't think he means the Dallas Stars. This sounds like Timu Solani heading to the Ducks. Appreciate the comment coming in from Randall in Cochrane, Alberta. Let's go to the phone lines. Our buddy Rowdy in the Netherlands. You're first up to give us your comments on the Line A for Dubois trade. Rowdy, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. And first of all, as always, I just want to say that you guys have the best radio show on earth, and it's still a heck of a lot of fun to listen to you guys.
Rowdy, we always appreciate your loyalty, and the fact you tune in and listen to us from the Netherlands is an extra special aspect of that. Your thoughts, Rowdy? Dubois for Line A, yay, nay, somewhere in the middle. What do you think?
Well, first of all, it sucks that we don't get to see Line A at his best in Winnipeg. I mean, like you guys have been saying, when we drafted him in 2016, you think you have a superstar on your hands for the next 15 years, and we've seen flashes of how special he can be. But honestly, given the situation, this is as good as he could have done if you're Sheffield Dayoff. I mean, Dubois is probably an elite center. We're going to see if he can continue that trend. He's still a young player, but I'm very hopeful for that. And honestly, to get a third round pick in return, I always love adding draft picks. Gives you another opportunity to hopefully add a good player to your lineup somewhere down the road. So honestly, it sucks to lose Line A, but Dubois is as good as you could have done. And just a small note, it just seems like you guys just have to open the phone lines at the end of January always. Normally you do that at the All-Star break, and now that's not the case, and the universe was thinking, well, you're going to open the phone lines anyways.
You're absolutely right about the timing. Rowdy, always appreciate your call. Thanks for joining us and calling in from the Netherlands. Phone lines are open, 204-780-1290. Ezzy, yeah, quickly.
Yeah, great to hear from Rowdy, first of all. Hopefully, he's going to come back to Winnipeg one of these days when COVID-19 is, in the rearview mirror. But I think Rowdy makes a really good point there when he talks about given the circumstances and what Chevy could have got back, guys, because as soon as Pierre-Luc Dubois was benched for, 40-plus minutes of that game against the Lightning, you knew that a trade was imminent, right? We heard it from Darren Dreger. We heard it from Aaron Portsline of The Athletic in Columbus. We knew that Jarmo Kekalainen wanted to trade Pierre-Luc Dubois. So if you're Chevy and you have a player like
Jets Lyon, just made it, sorry, as you just interrupt, the Jets have made it official. They've acquired Pierre-Luc Dubois on a third-round pick in 2022 for Line A and Roslovic.
So now official. There you go. We knew that the trade call was occurring. We saw that from Darren Dreger's tweet about 30 minutes ago, give or take. So now the Winnipeg Jets have made it official. Pierre-Luc Dubois and a 2022 third-round pick for Patrick Laine and for Jack Roslovic. And it's funny, Ezzy, comments are coming in fast and furious on Twitter and via text message. We have somebody who's just tweeted at us. Ian Brown tweets at us, Chevy created this problem when he gave Wheeler the contract he did. Trading a second overall pick, a franchise player from a position of weakness, is a clear failure. This is a failure by Maurice and Chevy to manage an elite talent. So there, as much excitement as there is about acquiring Pierre-Luc Dubois, a top-flight centerman, there's a lot of anger out there. And there's a lot of people, and I've been asking this question for a while as well, why, again, for the Jets, why can't the Jets hold on to these young elite talent? In some instances, we know some of these guys have signed long-term deals here, so it's not, there's no, you know, it's not a clear and fast rule across the board. Lots of different opinion. A lot of people excited. A lot of people who are also very upset that right. Patrick Laine is not going to be here anymore.
And I can understand why fans are upset, but you look at Columbus. Columbus has gone through this many times. Not just Artemi Panarin, not just Sergei Bobrovsky. You think about Ryan Johansson, right? We know Ryan Johansson's camp asked for trade. Go back to, what was it, Dave, 2011, 2012, going back to Jeff Carter. Right?
Yeah.
And Portsline pointed that out in a recent article with The Athletic. So Columbus has gone through this. You look at the Ottawa Senators, right? Edmonton Oilers. Like, a lot of teams have gone through this. Maybe not as recent, as much. You know, there's a recency bias, you know, with Jacob Trouba here and what happened with Dustin Byfuglien, even though that wasn't a trade request.
Right.
But I think, you know, at the end of the day, Laine and his agents requested a trade or, you know, we didn't call it requesting a trade, but
yeah.
Let's call it what it is.
They
requested a trade, and then you have Pierre-Luc Dubois' agent, you know, requesting a trade as well. So we don't know exactly how they got there. Is it because of usage? Is it because of a disagreement with coaches or management? Is it because of the salary, you know, the big salary coming up? We don't know. At this point, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Pierre-Luc Dubois has been traded to the Jets. Roslovic and Laine are going to Columbus. And again, I stress this. Like, I realize Jack Roslovic, I agree with Dave. This trade isn't just Laine for Dubois, but Roslovic, essentially, you get the third round pick for him, but you're getting an elite play driving two-way centerman in Dubois. And Laine is an elite goal scorer who obviously has his flaws. So if you look at this trade straight up as Laine for Dubois, even though it isn't, it's a pretty even trade.
Fun fact, Patrick Laine has only not scored against one team.
The Columbus Blue Jackets?
Columbus Blue Jackets.
Well, I think that'll continue at least for the next couple seasons then. That is a fun fact, Dave. Way to bring that one out. Another tweet from our buddy Frank Zappia. If Dubois does not become elite, this could be the worst trade in NHL Jets history, besides the Solani trade. Hopefully this goes well. Nonetheless, welcome Pierre-Luc Dubois. We should have the best center ice depth in the league now.
Well, and I agree with Frank, you know, on both of his points, the center depth and the fact that, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois definitely has room to grow in his game offensively, right? Like, a lot of Jets fans are going to go on HockeyDB and they're going to look at his stats and they're going to say, oh, his best season was 61 points, but this is only his fourth full year in the NHL this year, right? Like, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people's opinion, if you look at, you know, when forwards have their best seasons, it's right now, Dave, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's in between 22 to 25 years old. We talked about this years ago. If you look at the, you know, the advanced statistics and the ages of players, like the elite players, right? The Sidney Crosbys, the Connor McDavids, the Austin Matthews. Look what McDavid is doing now. He's in that exact same age range, 22 to 25, mm-hmm. right? So Pierre-Luc Dubois, his best offensive years are most likely to come. If you put him on the same line with Nikolaj Ehlers, I think they're going to put up some pretty good offensive numbers.
Jack Roslovic's deal in Columbus, 2 years, $1.9 million per season.
Which is what we thought he would come around.
Let's go back to the phone lines. I believe we have Sean on the line. Sean, good morning. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Your thoughts on the Line A for Dubois trade.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well, Sean. How about yourself? Thanks for calling.
Good. Love the show. I'm calling from Vancouver, so I always love listening to you guys. I'm a Jets fan.
Right on.
As well.
Yeah, City.
Follow them quite a bit. That's my second favorite team. But as far as the trade is concerned, the way I look at it, I mean, Laine A wanting out basically is, you know, if he didn't want to be there, I think it's important that they moved him for a guy that doesn't want to be there. I mean, it's just bad for the team, bad for the city, bad for the locker room for a guy that just doesn't want to be there. And getting a guy like Pierre-Luc Dubois is just amazing for the Jets, because I think he's a legit number one center, number two obviously on the Jets. Jets got depth, like you said, down the middle, and I think that the tweet that you read earlier about the Solani trade, I mean it's not going to be like getting a Chad Kilger. Like, you know, Dubois not like that type of player, obviously he's like a legit mm-hmm. player, and I think mm-hmm. that the Jets are going to be better for this in the long run.
Sean, appreciate your call. Thanks for your contribution. Thanks for listening from Vancouver.
And I think that's an important point that Sean just brings up, because I think that's the PTSD that Jets fans 1.0 have with any trade of this nature, was the idea that you're going to get spare parts. Sure. And we've been talking about it on this show that it had to be a one-for-one.
In some capacity.
You weren't going to be able to trade, you know, Patrick Laine for a top four D and an average center. You needed to get back something who was going to be someone who was going to be elite. And I think that's where a lot of Jets fans, they still have that in their memory banks, the older ones at least, the ones who remember the Slaney trade. Those guys are sitting there going, Chad Kilger, Oleg Tarasovsky, like, is this 2.0? But it does, again, and this is the one thing we need to caution, is that it's always easy in the moment. The Jets won, the Columbus Blue Jackets won, everybody, I mean, that's what we're seeing. You know, and I was looking at Don Lutician, does it from a more analytics perspective. He says the analytics would suggest that Winnipeg wins big on this. So, again, I don't like to declare winners and losers. You really do that in year two, year three. You see the contributions. And again, you also see what happens with these contracts, right? I mean, look, you've got, they're both RFAs after the end of their contracts. Is Columbus, look, they've got the Finnish connection with Jarmo Kekalainen. Will Columbus be a big enough market for Patrick Laine? We'll see. Is Pierre-Luc Dubois, his familial ties with Eric, his dad Eric being an assistant coach with the Manitoba Moose, and what he's able to potentially do here in Winnipeg? We'll see. But it's very difficult in this position to be declaring winners and losers.
Comments are flooding in. I like this one, actually. This came in via text. Columbus got the better player. The Jets became a better team.
Interesting.
I think that's sort of a good, profound comment. Nice to hear your that opinion
that
coming in via text.
That was Sun Tzu that said that.
That's Sun Tzu. That's very funny. Another comment coming in via Twitter, @IllegalCurve. I'm not sure people poo-pooing this trade actually know what they're talking about. Dubois has 4 more years of team control, and now the Jets have elite center depth. Very excited. I think we're a solid right-hand defenseman away from cup contention. That coming in via Twitter from Matt.
We've been doing this show for almost 12 years, and I still can't believe this trade has happened.
Somebody just, I mean, it's amazing the range of opinions. Somebody just texting at us, stop. We lost terribly here.
See?
A wide array of opinions coming in right now. People are on the phone. Stay on the phone. We're going to get to you on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Dubois for Laine and Roslovic. It's all we're talking about. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Saturday morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Ezra Ginsberg's with me. Dave Minuk is with me. Fast and furious chaos this morning here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. In case you're just joining us, Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets in exchange for Pierre-Luc Dubois and a 2022 third-round draft pick. We're asking for your comments at Illegal Curve on Twitter, 129090 via text message. You can also call us in. Phone lines are open, 204-780-1290. We're going to be joined at the bottom of the hour by TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger. He broke the news of the trade about an hour ago, give or take. Darren Dreger going to join us in about 5 to 8 minutes' time. We're all about the Jets. We're all about Laine for Dubois this Saturday morning. Let's go back to the phone line. Mark is on the line. Mark, good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Thanks. How you doing, guys?
We're doing well, Mark. How about yourself? Your thoughts on the trade?
Well, my thoughts on the trade are the Jets just got way, way better. As good as Laine is, he's a prima donna. He's always complaining about what line he needs to be on. The fact of the matter is if you're in a good elite player, you should be able to play with anyone and do well no matter what line you're on. I didn't like the fact that he was a prima donna suck. I mean, everyone figured out his he's a one-trick pony with a nice slap shot to the side there. Everyone started figuring it out. I know he's gotten a little bit better, but I still don't think he's worth what he'll want. He'll probably want $10 million when he gets re-signed. I don't think he's worth that. I think now it's perfect. You have Scheifele as your first line center, then you can have Dubois as your second line center, and then you have Stasny as your third line center until Perfetti's ready. I think this is fundamentally way better for the Jets, and I'm just happy to see, you know, and like I said, I'm nothing against Laine, but he's too much of a suck. Good riddance. Now we have a real team with some center depth.
Mark, appreciate the call. Thanks very much for joining us. Mark saying good riddance to Patrick Laine and welcome to Pierre-Luc Dubois. Phone lines are open, 780-1290. Let's look at what the text messages coming in are. We have a text saying, my main problem with this trade is that Dubois is a star, but Laine is a superstar. So that person not happy about that, in that, you know, there is that, you know,
that aspect
of Laine.
That's completely subjective, though, right?
Like, well, but Laine has that je ne sais quoi that you...
But you know what, though? I think one of our callers hit it out of the park. He said, this makes the Jets a better team overall. And that, I think, is what you're focused on. I mean, again, does Patrick Laine have a phenomenal personality? For sure. Have you seen him with fans playing, you know, paper, rock, scissor? And is he a phenomenal talent on the ice? There's nobody who's going to question that. But the truth is, and again, what it ultimately comes down to, and I think is probably the most important thing, is was he going to re-sign in Winnipeg with a number that was manageable for the Jets? Period. Because if the answer is no, then you had to do something. And if the something you had to do was to, again, and there's the uncertainty remains with Pierre-Luc Dubois. We don't know if there's something in place where you know that he's going to sign long-term with the Winnipeg Jets. But if you can retain Dubois, and we talked about it already throughout this course of this morning, and give yourself that Mark Scheifele, who's three more years, and Pierre-Luc Dubois, I mean, and again, insulating Cole Perfetti, that's going to give you center depth that will make you pretty much in the top five of this NHL league.
Absolutely. And, you know, we said this before, and you know, it needs to be said again. The Jets are getting an excellent player, and the Blue Jackets are getting an excellent player. Obviously, Roslovic is a good player. I don't think you would say that, you know, he's an excellent player. Mm-hmm. He's probably a guy that his upside is to play, you know, either second-line center or second-line wing. I don't think anyone's going to say that, you know, he steps in as the number one center on Columbus. So you have to look at it, first off, take a step back and look at it like that and realize, don't look at it necessarily as, did the Jets win or lose this trade? Because no trade, unless you're talking about Taylor Hall, you know, we were talking about this off-air. When Taylor Hall was traded to New Jersey for Adam Larson, yeah, that was like instant, okay, Edmonton lost that trade. Taylor Hall goes on and he wins the Hart Trophy. This is not anything like that trade, right? And you had two players that both requested trades, three players, in fact, that requested trades. And when you're talking about Dubois for Laine, they're just different. Yes, Laine is unique. He's a generational goal scorer. He could score 50 to 55 goals in one season. But Pierre-Luc Dubois is a guy that you can play 20, 25 minutes up the middle against any center in the league. You want to play against Sidney Crosby? You want to play against Connor McDavid, Alex Barkov? Pierre-Luc Dubois is right up there. Like, I'm not saying he's as good as those players. What I'm saying is he's an excellent center that Paul Maurice or any other coach wouldn't have a problem. Like, you're talking about the second overall pick and the third overall pick. So these are both highly talented guys. Yeah. So each team loses something, each team gains something.
Other comments coming in via text message. Would you be happier if Patrick scored 50 or if the team won the cup? This trade does that. A great trade. I'm jealous. I'm a Wings fan. I wanted Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Well, but it's a good point, right? Like Dave talked about this earlier. You know, Mark Scheifele's got 3 years left on his current contract, right?
Yeah.
So, and obviously, you know, the Jets are going to want to sign him to another contract after that. We can't look that far down the road yet. But when you get Pierre-Luc Dubois, that's how you're looking at this. You're looking at this like you're saying, hopefully, we're going to have this guy for the next 7 to 8 years. And that's a guy that we can put either on the first line or the second line, and that gives us an excellent center. Mm-hmm. You had to give up Line A, but you knew you were going to have to give up Line A anyways. We all thought that he was going to be traded at some point. We didn't think it was going to be this quickly, obviously.
Right.
But, you know, that's how you have to look at it. Does Dubois make you a better team? I would say yes.
He certainly increases your depth and improves your depth up the middle. Comments coming in via Twitter. I keep flip-flopping in my head as to if I hate this trade or like this trade. This is from Leslie. But as I hear your analysis and other listeners, I think the center depth is amazing. I think that Chevy should have got a first-round pick, though. Laine wasn't going to sign here anyway. And I think that is a... I mean, you can't overstate that as a factor here. If Patrick Laine's representatives had told Kevin Cheveldayoff that he was not going to make a long-term commitment to the team,
right,
and that appears to be the case, then this is what needed to happen. I'm not saying that that I agree with this trade necessarily. I'm not saying that the Jets won the trade or made out like a bandit, and I totally understand people being upset that a superstar like Patrick Laine is not a member of the Winnipeg Jets. But if he wasn't going to sign here long-term, the Jets needed to do something, and they were proactive for once, as opposed to necessarily being reactive like they so often are. Now, is it a factor? Is it help that the Dubois situation sort of went haywire in Columbus this week? Absolutely. Did that maybe accelerate the Winnipeg Jets' timeline? No question. But they have to strike while the iron was hot, and for once, doesn't happen very often, for once, the Jets reacted they were proactive as opposed to being reactive. Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, joins us on the other side of the break. Your phone lines will remain open. I know we have people on hold. Please keep holding on. We'll get to you as quickly as we can. It's a busy morning. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Bottom of hour number two. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined by Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Minuk. We want to hear from you about the Laine and Dubois trade at Illegal Curve on Twitter. So many of you are commenting. We thank you so much. Can't possibly read them all because, well, there's been about, I think, 14,000 comments coming in. But we appreciate it all. You can keep them coming. Also, via text message, send your text to 129090. And our website that has the latest on the Dubois for Line A trade, that's available at illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to welcome back to the program TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger joins us now. Darren, good morning. Appreciate you jumping on with us so quickly here. Obviously, a huge trade with significant ramifications here in Winnipeg and in Columbus and really throughout the entire NHL. You know, how quickly did this come together? We know we saw your tweet last night, and then obviously, you know, things progressed over the night, and then this morning it seems like they restarted. You know, how quickly did this trade come together between the Jets and the Blue Jackets?
Well, I wouldn't say it was quick. I mean, these, you know, deals of this magnitude don't happen very often, and appreciably it takes months of discussion. And I think in this case it does go back that far. Now, I don't know that Chevalier and Kekalainen had multiple conversations over the past number of months dating back to the off season specific about Pierre-Luc Dubois for Patrick Laine. But you guys, of course, recall the speculation around the availability of Patrick Laine months ago. And I'm sure Chevy would have taken calls from a number of general managers, and Yarmo likely was among them. But I don't know that they got to the specifics of Dubois for Laine as the primary pieces until very recently. And the truth is that, you know, this process probably would have dragged out further if not for what happened earlier this week with Pierre-Luc Dubois in Columbus and the subsequent benching decision made by John Tortorella, head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets. That expedited the process. But Jarmo Kekalainen had 20-plus general managers inquiring on Pierre-Luc Dubois, and his ask was incredibly high. And so Winnipeg, you know, paid an extreme price to get a very sought-after centerman in Pierre-Luc Dubois. But I think that there have been discussions about a bigger picture trade for quite some time, but I don't think that they really started hammering out on Pierre-Luc Dubois for Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic until recently.
You know, Darren, for casual hockey fans or maybe hockey fans who don't, you know, follow the Columbus Blue Jackets closely, and their only image or their most recent image of Pierre-Luc Dubois is that shift that occurred on, I believe it was Thursday night or Wednesday night now, that led to the benching where the effort was lacking. You know, what would you say to Jets fans or hockey fans in Winnipeg who are worried that is the type of effort that is, you know, synonymous with Pierre-Luc Dubois, as opposed to, you know, from my perspective, that's more of an outlier shift than it is anything that is a reputation of his?
Well, yeah, that shift is not synonymous with Pierre-Luc Dubois and his game. And you're 100% right. I mean, anybody who looks at that shift and says, well, Winnipeg is getting a lazy hockey player, knows nothing about the game of Pierre-Luc Dubois and hasn't paid any attention to his development since, you know, he was a high draft pick of the Columbus Blue Jackets. So there should be zero concern about the effort and commitment that Pierre-Luc Dubois is bringing to Winnipeg. You know, he is very happy with this trade. He is very much looking forward to, you know, finding his way with the Jets, playing for Paul Maurice. Let's not overlook that. And just hitting the reset button. So there should be zero concern about the athlete or the level of compete that Pierre-Luc Dubois is bringing to Winnipeg. I mean, look, everybody has a breaking point. And what led Pierre-Luc Dubois to that point with John Tortorella and the Columbus Blue Jackets, we may never know. But let's not indict this young man based on a 20-second shift. You know, his game is deep. And I would say this, when I look at centers around the National Hockey League, there are some great 1-2 punches in the NHL. You know, I think of Matthews and Tavares in Toronto. You know, you've got Dreisaitl and Connor McDavid, obviously, in Edmonton. You've got the history of Sidney Crosby and the depth of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Well, you know what? For me, Mark Scheifele and Pierre-Luc Dubois, they can fit in that conversation. I'm not saying Winnipeg has the best 1-2 punch in the league, but Winnipeg got a lot better with this trade.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290. TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger is our guest, discussing the Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic for Pierre-Luc Dubois and a 2022 third-round pick trade from earlier this morning.
Darren, your colleague Frank Saravelli tweeted this out about, I think it was about 50 minutes ago, just under an hour, that the Columbus Blue Jackets will be retaining 26% of Patrick Laine's salary. And the question that I wanted to ask you was, how big of a part of this deal is that, and how much of that has to do with Pierre-Luc Dubois having 1 year left on his contract after this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. There's always the business side of the game, right? And for cap reasons, whatever, retaining salary in today's NHL world when you're making trades like this is common ground. You know, randomly, you don't come up with a number like 26%. It must have had to do with, you know, just cap management from the Columbus Blue Jackets perspective. But, you know, don't also look solely at the contract remaining for Pierre-Luc Dubois or for Patrick Laine. You know, just because of the age of these players and where they're at in their careers, I believe Winnipeg retains the rights of Pierre-Luc Dubois for, what, 4 years? So, you know, there's terrific opportunity here to get something done long-term. But that's not going to be the focus. The focus for Dubois is to come into Winnipeg, get settled, and find his place. And, you know, then the business side, again, will take over. I have no doubt that the Winnipeg Jets will very quickly get to his agents, Pat Brisson from CAA Sports, when they're allowed to do so in the summer, to start that process of looking at a contract extension. But, you know, again, when you're boiling down this trade, Columbus probably knew that they were going to work out a deal very quickly to get Jack Roslovic signed and back into the National Hockey League. So just going through cap gymnastics, they would have required Winnipeg to eat some of Laine's salary.
You know, Darren, one thing we've obviously focused on is the idea of you don't want a Jacob Trouba situation with Patrick Laine. You don't want a player who's going to walk himself almost to UFA and then leave.
Right.
And that was obviously a big concern
here
in Winnipeg. With Pierre-Luc Dubois, I mean, you touched on it, that it's not something that they would discuss soon, but do you think that that is obviously something that they've kind of had the Jets have a pretty good indication as to this is a player, especially his dad's the assistant coach, obviously, with the Manitoba Blues. This is a player that they could retain long-term?
That would be the hope. I think that would be the hope. And it's also allocating your invested dollars. You know, there's been much speculation, even though we don't know what the numbers would have been for Patrick Laine, but let's just say in a healthier league, you're talking around $9 million to extend Patrick Laine. Well, you know, can you afford to do that? Can you afford to do that, you know, with a winger as opposed to a centerman? Who knows what Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to command when there's an opportunity to extend him. But I can tell you this, pretty much every team in the National Hockey League, if they're investing big money in an individual player, would rather do it
with a centerman as opposed to a winger. And then it gets amplified when, in this case, Patrick Laine, for his own personal reasons, didn't see himself as a long-term fit in Winnipeg. So the leverage then has to go back to the general manager, Cheveldayoff, who's got to try and maximize his return. Jack Roslovic asked for a trade. He was never playing in Winnipeg again. Patrick Laine's days in Winnipeg, games in Winnipeg, can absolutely be measured in games, not years. So for, you know, Cheveldayoff to move a player who wasn't going to play in Winnipeg and Roslovic, and move Patrick Laine, a player who probably wasn't coming back to Winnipeg after this season, for a real good piece up the middle in Pierre-Luc Dubois. I mean, whatever risk or gamble that comes into this when looking beyond this season and beyond next season when Pierre-Luc Dubois' contract is up, I mean, that's just part of doing business in the NHL. And the Winnipeg Jets will use Dubois to go as deep as they can this year and next year. And like I said earlier, chances are they'll begin negotiations in the summer, but they can't be worried about that now.
Darren, final question for you. Darren Dreger, our guest here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You know, when you draft players second overall or third overall, like the Jets did with Laine and the Blue Jackets did with Dubois, you expect them to be cornerstones of your franchise for longer than just, you know, 5 years. I remember when the Jets won the draft lottery to draft Laine, they thought, you know, generational talent, generational player, 10 years plus. For both the Blue Jackets organization and the Jets organization, the excitement obviously is palpable, but does there need to be some sort of examination in the organization to find out why things went so wrong with both of these players so quickly?
Well, I guess I understand your thinking on this, but it, because it is a unique situation. In fact, if you want to extend it to Jack Roslovic, you know, you're talking about three disgruntled players here and two teams who own the rights to these players coming together and hoping for a much better future. So it is unique. I'll give you that. It's unique. But I don't know that there has to be a lot of soul searching, you know, by both clubs here. I mean, the business side of the sport has really taken over, and younger players now have way more business savvy and swagger than they ever have before. So a player coming out of his entry-level contract has no problem holding the feet of the organization to the fire in dealing on that second contract. And then you go beyond that. And for whatever reason, things did not work out for Pierre-Luc Dubois in Columbus. That doesn't mean there has to be a forensic audit of how business is done in Columbus. And likewise for Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic in Winnipeg. Laine has his reasons for not wanting to be a long-term fit with the Winnipeg Jets. Jack Roslovic took a hard-line position. You know, that entirely is up to him and his agent, Claude Lemieux. But is that the fault of the Winnipeg Jets organization? Look around the league, fellas. Like, there are players who are unhappy with their situation on every team in the National Hockey League. It just doesn't work out for them as conveniently as this has worked out, in my opinion, for Laine, Roslovic, and Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Darren Dreger is one of TSN's hockey insiders. Darren, appreciate your time this morning. I'm sure it's been a busy morning. We'll let you get back with it. Appreciate it again. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Take care. There goes Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. When we come back, much more on the trade. Phone lines are open, 204-780-1290. We're taking tweets at Illegal Curve. We're taking texts at 1290-90. Much more to come. Laine for Dubois, the trade. We talk about it right here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio, 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
10 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Ezra Ginsberg's with me. Dave Minuke is with me as well. You just heard from Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. In case you missed any of that interview, we'll have it available for you very quickly, both on our website, illegalcurve.com. We'll also get it up on tsn1290.ca. So in case you missed any of what has been an absolutely chaotic show, we'll have it for you real quick. The podcast will be up shortly after the end of the program as well. But along those lines, let's go back to the phone line, 780-1290. We want to hear from you, 204-780-1290. I believe we're going to go to Johnny. He's been sitting on hold for a while. Johnny, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate your time. What are your thoughts on the Line A for Dubois trade?
Well, first of all, I'm a first-time caller and big Jets fan for over 30 years.
Well, welcome to the program, Johnny. Appreciate it.
What my thoughts are is I like Liney as an individual, but he gave up on the concept of team in Winnipeg. And, you know, if you want to be a part of this community and you want to be a part of a team, you got to be team, T-E-A-M. It's not individual. And I think he gave up on that in Winnipeg.
Johnny, I appreciate the call. Thank you for your opinion. Blunt and straight to the point. Got no problems with that. A lot of people are certainly, there's, you know, I don't recall anything. Usually groupthink factors into a lot of things, you know, where there's consensus. Not a lot of consensus coming in via Twitter, via text, on the phone lines. A lot of people happy with the trade, saying the center depth makes the Jets an exceptional hockey team. A lot of people upset losing a star and a goal scorer of Patrick Laine's caliber.
But that's what makes this trade so unique, right?
Yeah.
That you had not only one, not only two, but you had three players that have requested a trade. Obviously, Laine and Dubois are the big pieces here because they're second and third overall picks, and just the skill set and the nature of the two players. But I think what's also just so fascinating about this trade is that we didn't expect it to happen this early in the season, right? Obviously, after the game between the Jackets and the Lightning and Dubois benched, you thought, you know, there was some urgency there. But we certainly, you know, when we were talking about this last week or even, you know, a month ago, 2 months ago, we were thinking, well, I mean, Chevy's not going to trade Laine at this point in the season. What's the rush, right? You can wait until after the season is over. But, you know, in terms of, you know, Laine's displeasure and not playing with the team or Dubois not playing with the team, even though I think, you know, sometimes as outsiders, and most of us are outsiders, you're looking at this situation and you're thinking, well, these guys are professionals. They're able to brush it off. Well, Pierre-Luc Dubois was not able to brush it off in Columbus. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's all on him. You know, it's kind of tough when your coach is benching you, but obviously his play on the ice, you know, wasn't spectacular. And then when you're talking about Patrick Laine, obviously he's only been in one game this year, but we saw that as soon as he spoke to the media, it was like, okay, maybe he doesn't want to be here because he easily could have just brushed aside the trade request. So I understand that there are going to be fans of the Blue Jackets and fans of the Jets who probably aren't happy with the way this ended.
Want to make a note, there's a Jets game tonight. It's sort of hard to remember that, but there is a game against the Senators tonight, and Dylan DeMello we know is going to return to the lineup. Little surprised about this one. Ville Heinola coming out of the Jets defensive group tonight. DeMello in, Heinola out for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. Yep. I think people are surprised that that was the decision made by the coaching staff. I know I was, but maybe Paul Maurice sort of alluded to it yesterday in his comments when he said that sometimes, you know, for a player who comes in, plays a game, it might not be so bad to bring him out so he can see perspective a little bit. But I was surprised by that decision.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no question Heinola was a breath of fresh air. He was calm. He was cool. I thought he was excellent in the one game he played for the Jets against the Senators. And yeah, I mean, I guess you're a little surprised. I think, you know, I think from the comments I was seeing based on our coverage yesterday of practice and what was doing, or it was an optional practice, but still just the idea that we were covering it. I think a lot of people were hopeful that you'd see a veteran come out of the lineup, but I suspect that the Jets were thinking that today's game may get, you know, ratcheted up in terms of physicality. I don't know. I don't know the justification. We haven't had a chance to talk to Paul Maurice yet about it. So
we've been a little busy.
We've been a little bit busy. The Jets availability is supposed to be, I mean, I think that there's a more, you know, it's so chaotic.
Yeah.
Just to, I mean, I
there
think
was an optional morning skate.
Yeah, about 25 morning. Minutes ago yeah. is when it started. So, you know, in theory, the Jets players would probably be available around 11:30. I know Kevin Cheveldayoff was going to originally speak about half an hour ago as well. Now I believe he's being courteous. He's waiting till after our show, I believe, is over.
That's considerate of Chevy.
To start discussing the big news of the day. And look, there's no question this is going to reverberate in Winnipeg and in Columbus for years to come. I think that folks on both sides of the equation, whether you're a fan of the trade or you hate the trade, are going to have, you know, something invested. This is, I mean, folks, people had an investment in Patrick Laine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we remember, as he said, we were at the draft in 2016. We remember what it was like when they won the draft lottery and got the ability to pick second.
Yeah.
So
Huss called that day St. Patrick's Day.
None of this is diminishing the players. I think what you have to focus on is what is this going to do for this Winnipeg Jets team moving forward? Look, is this going to make them a better, again, hockey more than a lot of other sports is really a team game.
You can
have a superstar yeah. that can help you get to that next level. You know, the Gretzky's, the Lemieux's, there's no question about it. But a lot of teams, especially of late, mm-hmm. you know, you need that 1-2 punch. Huh. And we've seen it in Washington. We've seen it in Boston. We've seen it in Tampa Bay. Like, you've seen these teams have the ability with the depth to play as a team and be able to handle. I mean, guys, let's remember, Mark Scheifele went down with injury in that first game against Calgary in the play-in series. What happened to the Jets?
They fell apart.
You knew the Jets were done. I don't care if Blake Wheeler's moving to the center. Blake Wheeler he did admirably as a center. But when you lose Mark Scheifele, you don't have the depth to replace him. And I'm just saying, the Jets now have that ability to lose a Mark Scheifele, and you're going to have another one center to fill in the gap.
To your point, though, about people being emotional when you lose a guy like Patrick Laine, mm-hmm. a guy who resonated. I just got a text from a cousin in Los Angeles. His daughter wants to know what to do with her Patrick Laine pop-up doll. So there's a lot of people like that, you know, saying, you know, their Laine jerseys, what are they worth now?
Drew, what are you going to do with your Patrick Laine pop-up doll?
Yeah, first, I have to get one, and then I'll have to answer that question.
No, and the point I wanted to make, with Dave there is that, you know, I agree with everything that he's saying. Like, you look at your team, you know, and GMs always like to do this. They like to look at their team a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, right? But this trade, as Dave just mentioned, makes your team better now.
Right.
Right? And the Jets are a win-now team.
Absolutely.
That's what we talked about last week. Like, if you're trading Patrick Laine, you're not trading Patrick Laine for, a couple of players, a forward, a defenseman, and a draft pick. We knew that.
Right.
Right? So I think that's why, you know, again, there's not a winner and a loser yet. I don't think that is determined. That might not be determined for 5 years, right? Like, I don't think we're.
But
gonna,
you know what?
I don't think we're going to be sitting here. Like, let's put it this way: if the Jets go to the Stanley Cup final, if the Jets win the Stanley Cup, I think people are going to say the Jets won this trade. But if the Jets and the Blue Jackets, you know, both get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, are you going to be able to call an absolute winner?
Well, but,
absolutely not.
Yeah.
And at this point, Dave, you make a good point. When you're able to lose either Scheifele or Dubois, obviously we don't hope that happens,
right.
But you have now center depth, especially in this Canadian division.
Right.
Right? You know, Dregs mentioned Austin Matthews, John Tavares, obviously like Joe Thornton there, but he's out for 4 weeks. But the Jets have the best center depth in the Canadian division now.
1 through 4?
Yes.
No, they do. It's better. I mean, 1 and 2, I'll take McDavid and Draisaitl.
Sure.
And 1 and 2, I mean, I might, yeah. I'll probably take Matthews and Tavares.
Yeah, and
but top to bottom,
sure.
They do.
And yeah, you know, Montreal, Nick Suzuki, you've got Philip Deneau,
yeah.
Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Like, you've got other good teams in the Canadian division, but you've essentially got two first line centers now and a second line center that's going to be playing on the third line.
And I think ultimately,
and it allows you to move Adam Lowry down to the fourth line,
and
right?
Think,
like Dave, you've talked about.
Yeah, and I think as to your point though, I think it's also possible that both teams can end up being winners. Like,
yeah,
what?
There
what
doesn't have to be a loser.
Yeah, like, I know, again, we live in this world where people are so quick to say, this is the winner, this is the loser. Their declarations are fast and furious right now. But the truth is, again, to your point, if the Jets can, you know, get Dubois in here and do something significant, not necessarily this year, but in the next few years, retain him and do something, then they're winners. If the Columbus Blue Jackets are able to sign Patrick Laine to a long-term deal, you know, put pieces around him, I mean, again, you know, you never know what can happen. And both teams, if Patrick Laine is scoring 40 goals for Columbus a year, and the Jets are going to conference finals and winning championships, again, you know, that's what, and we talked about it, and that's the one thing you have, this is this core, the Blake Wheelers. You know, you have Kyle Connor in his prime. You have guys, Nikolai Ehlers. I mean, you have guys, you have to win. You can't plan to win in 4 years.
Nobody has a 5 to 10 year window to win. No team. It's very few.
Or when you think you do, it closes a lot quicker than that.
And the Chicago Blackhawks of the world, the LA Kings of the world, you know, I'm talking about, you know, 2012 to 2015, 2010 to 2015. You don't see that very often,
right? Mm-hmm.
The Pittsburgh Penguins winning the two, like, you just don't see that. So Chevy knows that. The Jets know that. And, you know, that's why I think this trade right now is looking pretty good. Not saying that the Jets have won the trade, but you can understand the trade from each team's perspective.
No question.
And just quickly, someone asked us, Motown Curmudgeon asked, is there any chance Brian Little could be the third center on the Jets next year? And then how scary would the Jets' depth be, you know, with potentially like Perfetti as your fourth line center? I mean, again, who knows what's going to happen? We don't know about Brian Little, but I mean, he is signed for another few years, so
it's hard to believe that his health will allow him to happen. But, you know, for Brian Little's sake, if he wants to continue his hockey career, we certainly would encourage him. And if his health allows it, it's just another option for the Winnipeg Jets. A difficult one salary cap wise, but that's something to determine, a year from now. Another comment coming in via Twitter. Very disappointing. While the trade could make Winnipeg better long-term, unless they win the cup, this is still a letdown. Watching Patrick Laine snipe and throw some hits was the most fun part about watching the Jets. You know, the comments are varied. Their opinions are on both sides of the ledger. We want to hear them all. At Illegal Curve on Twitter, 129090 via text message. Phone lines are open, 204-780-1290. When we come back, more on the Line A for Dubois trade. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Our number